Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today we will continue in our series of studies, seven figures depicting or portraying the Christian as seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Christian is seen under these different figures, and they're very, very interesting. We've already considered the Christian as a son, as a soldier, as an athlete, as a farmer, as a workman, all with different functions, different phases of the Christian experience. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to see the Christian as a vessel, as recorded in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 20 and 21. We read there, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now the Christian here is seen as a vessel, and we are to purge ourselves from these, those that would not properly represent our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian is a vessel. The vessel contains something that is very useful, very serviceable, and the vessel contains it, that it may be used on occasion. I think of the fact that the Apostle Paul, the writer of 2 Timothy, incidentally, his salvation is recorded in the 9th chapter of the Acts, according to the Acts of the Apostles, rather. And we see in that chapter that Paul was called a vessel. We read in verse 13, "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints which is at Jerusalem." Now, Ananias here had been told by the Lord that he should seek Paul out, Saul of Tarsus rather, as he was then, Paul later. He was to seek him out because Paul was blind. He was to baptize him, to give him his sight. Ananias was afraid of Paul, and he objects to the Lord, "I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now he was a chosen vessel, and incidentally, you and I are chosen vessels too. To do what? To bear the name of Christ before others. Now, we read something that is quite puzzling there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor." What is the great house here? Well, the great house is nothing else but the church of God. Paul, in writing to Timothy in the third chapter of his first epistle to Timothy, he tells him, "I'm writing these things to you. I hope to see you, but I'm writing these things to you that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of God, the pillar and ground of truth." Now, Paul says there the house of God is the church of God, and this is a great house. But now we might ask, how are vessels of dishonor contained in the church? Who are these vessels of dishonor? Well, they're mentioned in the very context of what we're reading. We read farther up in this same second chapter of 2 Timothy, verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. For their word doth eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth averred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but then these vessels unto dishonor. And Hymenaeus and Philetus were those vessels, and they were in the church. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19 and 20, Paul says there, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus, if you prefer, and Alexander. He adds Alexander to this list, as well as Philetus, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. Now, this goes beyond those men. We read in, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, where Paul warns the Thessalonians about certain men that had crept into the church and were there for their own private benefit. And then he warns about these men, and he admonishes the Thessalonians in this second epistle, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. As a brother, he was in the church. Admonish him as a brother. They were misbehaving. They were vessels unto dishonor. Now, Paul admonishes here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to purge ourselves from those vessels. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also vessels of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We are not to go along with bad vessels unto dishonor. They are to be rebuked. They are to be put in their place. The word of God, as we read when we were studying about the fact that the Christian is seen as a workman, we should know our Bibles, skillful workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And these men were rebuked in Paul's time, and he not only rebukes them personally, but he tells the Thessalonians to rebuke those that had slipped into their company, were part of the church. Now, they were not unsaved people, but they had lent themselves to Satan. And they were unholy vessels. They were unclean vessels. They were vessels to dishonor. That's the way Paul puts it. Now, here we have this fact that we are vessels, whether good or bad. Now, we've been considering now the negative sort of thing. We've been told that there are vessels unto dishonor. Let's emphasize the positive. We should be vessels to honor. I think of the second chapter of John's Gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ performs a wonderful miracle using empty vessels. I once heard a servant of the Lord make this remark. He says, if a housewife is preparing a meal, and there are no vessels near at hand to serve her purpose, what does she do? She looks around for another vessel, vessels perhaps in the cupboard or in the cabinet, and she's looking for something that is clean and something that is empty. Now, as vessels, we should be clean, and we should be empty of ourselves. Now, these men, Hymenaeus, Philetus, and Alexander, were so full of themselves that they propagated their doctrine even in opposition to the Apostle Paul, and they had to be rebuked. They weren't empty vessels. They were full of themselves. Now, in the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, we see some empty vessels that God used, the Lord Jesus used. I think it would be just as profitable to read the account. I can read it as quickly as I can narrate it. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now they had to be empty before they could be filled with water. This will further reinforce what we said, what the servant of the Lord said. The housewife is looking for an empty vessel as well as a clean vessel. These vessels were empty, but the Lord said, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren. But this was done in Cana of Galilee. Now this is very, very instructive. This was an occasion of rejoicing. And they ran out of wine, and wine in the scripture is seen as the type of joy. And it brings joy. It's mentioned in the Psalms. We won't turn to it. Our time is slipping away too quickly. But here they are without wine. What a tragedy at a wedding feast. So they come to the Lord Jesus, and there were six pots of stone, water pots, holding about 25 gallons apiece. The Lord says, fill them with water up to the brim. Six pots? Why six pots? Well, six is the number of man. We are vessels, and we are empty, should be empty, so that God can fill us with the water of his word. And I think that the water here does speak of the word of God. As a matter of fact, it's mentioned that way in Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 24 and 25. We read there, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I think we will find that in the word of God, standing water represents the word of God, and moving water represents the Spirit of God. We can't go into this typology at this time. Now, they were filled with water, and by the power of the Lord, that water was turned into wine, the source of joy. Now, the Christian can bear joy to this world. He first must have the Word within him. The Word of God, the Spirit working on that, tells us to go to others and be a refreshment and a joy to them. Vessels, what do we carry? According to 2 Corinthians, we carry Christ. Christ in this vessel, he is the refreshment, and he is the joy that we should bear. Father, we do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will bless this study to our hearts today. We pray in his name. Amen.